Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Greg is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have the Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, as we get back into the review of where the Patriots are four games into the season, Fitzy mentioned it earlier, the draft class is looking up, and we're not just talking about Bailey Zappe, who we do need to credit for coming in, surprisingly, a few days after Joe Judge almost indicated they really didn't want Zappe on the field, that he wasn't ready. Well, he looked ready to me. He sounded ready to me after the game. He sounded ready to me when he talked to the Maloney, Fourier, and Mego peeps on WEEI. Bailey Zappe, I don't know how good his arm is. I don't know how good he is, but he's kind of like the Patriots in general right now. I don't question his balls. The guy went out there and showed balls at Lambeau Field, but he wasn't the only one. Another guy who may have more balls than brains at this point in his career, Jack Jones, with the key pick six at the end of the first half in Green Bay to give the Patriots the lead at the break. Fitzy, you and I talked about this. Unfortunately, they led in all four quarters, just not when it mattered most, either at the end of the fourth or at the end of overtime. But Jack Jones, who then also said it was disrespectful for Aaron Rodgers, who I guess we call him the boat, best of all time, not the GOAT, the greatest of all time, threw an out his way. And he broke on the route so well, and then Aaron Rodgers actually said, I made a bad throw, but he almost overran the ball. He had to reach back, Jack Jones did, to catch it. So my question is, coming off that performance and what we've seen from him in the preseason and the swagger that he brings, is Jack Jones a developing number one cornerback for your New England Patriots that need a developing number one cornerback?
I mean, I think he's good. I like him. I think he has a lot more potential than I gave him credit for before the season started. I think there's a chance. Like, I think it could be J.C. Jackson, right? Like, I think upside.
So then the answer is yes. If he can be J.C. Jackson, and he was drafted, Jack Jones, so there's a little bit of a, I guess, a higher expectation, although we know J.C. Jackson had some legal issues and things, transfer issues that played a role.
Then again, so did Jack Jones.
No, I know, but my point is he was drafted, so theoretically, if you use the old school, like, oh, Bailey Zappe's better than Hoyer, because when he entered the league, people thought he was draft-worthy, not undrafted free agent-worthy, but if you say Jack Jones can be J.C. Jackson, can be a number one corner.
I think that's his ceiling, right? That's what it feels like to me. Like, his ceiling is, he's not going to be, he's not going to be Darrell Revis. He's probably not going to be Aqib Talib or Stephon Gilmore in their primes, but... No. I think he could be J.C. Jackson. I think he could be a ball hawking guy, a very similar to like your Marcus Peters kind of player, where it's, I'm going to be aggressive. I'm going to get a lot of turnovers. I'm also going to make some mistakes. I think you're looking at like J.C. Jackson, Trayvon Diggs are the upper echelon of that style. So if he comes in right underneath them, I don't think you could be much happier about that.
Fitzy.
I wrote about it yesterday for WEEI.com about how it's nice to see the hype and buzz of somebody that was turning heads for the right reasons in training camp and the preseason coming to fruition so early in the season. And he gets his opportunity because Jalen Mills has to sit with an injury and is a scratch Sunday in Green Bay. Jack Jones made the most of that opportunity. He has to work on something Bill Belichick, well, any football player needs to work on, but something Bill Belichick stresses fundamentally from his cornerbacks, something he loved about Malcolm Butler, and especially the greatest tackling cornerback I ever saw, Logan Ryan. He's got to work on his tackling, for sure. He is a little too over-aggressive at times and is a ball hawk, but I said to you Sunday night, even on the post-game show, that right now you may have a developing J.C. Jackson-esque type player with a nose for the ball and a real swagger and attitude about him, and you're getting him at less than 1/36th of the price of J.C. Jackson this year, which is really impressive. Now, I don't think that they drafted him thinking like we can find J.C. Jackson's replacement and only have to spend 2.5% of what we spent on J.C. Jackson. But this could be a happy accident in what could be a developing when what is developing to potentially be a very good draft class for the Patriots. I love everything I've seen out of this kid. And Andy, guess what? He'll be able to play the outside. So maybe you can send John Jones or somebody else back to the inside where they belong. The Patriots need a ball hawk on the outside. He ran that route for Lazard. That was all recognition. He's done that a bunch of times already this season.
Why would you send John Jones back inside? He's the number one cornerback in the National Football League. There's nobody better cornerback than John Jones.
This is where we lose our PFF sponsorship. Actually, you know what?
I want no part of a PFF sponsorship. I know. If I have to lie and pretend that they are great, I do not want any part of Cameron Fleming is the best right tackle in football. Come on, get the hell out of here.
Best right tackle in football history, thank you.
Terrible.
Actually, believe it or not, John Jones has dropped to 10th best overall cornerback. Guess who the number one rated, according to Pro Football Focus, you can just deal with this for a second. As of right now, after 4 weeks of the NFL season, the top-rated rookie defender and the top-rated outside corner in football, Jack Jones. Deal with it.
Wait,
That's four weeks. Jack Jones, look it up. Numbers, stats.
I'll never look it up because I don't care. They are the most meaningless thing on the planet. Like the pamphlets that the guy on the street in Vegas hands out about like God or strippers or everything in between are more meaningless.
AJ Terrell is the best corner in football, and you can't convince me otherwise.
God.
I would say,
AJ like Jack Jones's
Patrick Surtain aggressive. The second is quickly entering the chat as well.
I like Jack Jones's aggressiveness. I told you from day one of either OTAs or minicamp, like he flashed. And I loved that he flashed as a draft pick, not as we've been doing this for years with the undrafted guys. And you have to figure out like, oh, is he trying harder than anybody? Are they going to give him a chance? Cause he's undrafted. Now to see a draft pick flash the way Jack Jones did and has, and I love his swagger. I love his cockiness. He's a cornerback. He's not anything else. And I think as a corner, you got to be able to put your big old balls on the table and go against some of the best athletes on the planet. So the way he acts, I actually love it. Reminds me of a little bit of Ellis Hobbs when I remember in his preseason, his first preseason, he jumped and out like Jack Jones, except he missed and the guy went like 80 yards for a touchdown. And post game, he was asked, would you do anything different? And he goes, nope, just catch the ball next time. And that's what I need. I don't need the guy that's like, yeah, maybe I won't be aggressive. Maybe I won't. Oh, it's Aaron Rodgers. I'm not going to break on and out because he doesn't throw pick sixes. He couldn't possibly throw a pick six to me. He did. I like what Jack Jones is doing. And I think, Fitzy, you noted it. They absolutely need it. Their secondary and their cornerback position is a debacle, a sneaky debacle right now. Everybody's fixating on the run defense because you gave up a bunch of yards to the Ravens and then to the Packers, which, oh, by the way, kind of coincides with Lawrence Guy not playing. As soon as he hurt his shoulder and went out, run defense fell apart.
We said that last week on the postgame show, and we said it on the pod last week, Andy. They gave up almost 6 yards a carry to the Packers Sunday.
I actually think they wanted the Packers to run. I think that was part of the game plan, and I know Patriots fans, I've mocked them at times for using that theory over the years, but I think part of this game was we want them to run. We don't want them hitting the big plays. Now, the problem is you were actually allowing the receivers to get behind you, and only Aaron Rodgers missing them saved your ass from getting blown out.
Romeo Dobbs was kicking Jonathan Jones's ass.
And it's like good. He's finding his way. And John Jones is fast. So whatever moves Dobbs has or whatever speed, we heard about it last week. Watson is supposed to be the fastest one in Green Bay as well, but Dobbs has some moves.
But they need a developing young corner. And if Jack Jones can be that, I'm not saying is that because he's young, he's a rookie. But the fact that Scheim, who's as negative as anybody on the planet about Patriots players, just mentioned him in the same name, in the same sentence as Diggs, I'll take a guy that gives me 7 interceptions and 6 touchdowns allowed or whatever. Like, I think they need that playmaking. They need some of that injected into the back end. Cole Strange. If we're going to go with our theme here of rookies and impressive rookie draft class, I don't care where he was drafted, so we're not going to get into that right now. But the fact that we're raving about the run game, we're raving about the left side where he and Trent Brown and company do their damage, you got to give Cole Strange credit for. And I know I mocked him a little bit like he was given the job, but now he's taken the job and he's run with it.
Yeah, and they're literally running with it. Like he is running, leading the charge in the running game. And I think that's good. He is an excellent run blocker. I think that's well established at this point. Like that left side, if you're going to run at that left side, boy, you're going to have a lot of success this season.
You should.
But you need to continue to do that. And you want Cole to continue to be that way. And so that just needs to, he needs to stay at that level in order for this run game to continue to have that kind of success.
And they need to stay healthy because,
Although
actually
always
now they kind of can be less healthy. Because I do believe, one of you mentioned it earlier, that Marcus Cannon is ready to take over the right tackle job.
Yep.
Well, that drops Isaiah Wynn, your former first-round pick. We don't need to get into that. Your former first-round pick making over $10 million. But it drops him into your, not just swing tackle role, your swing wherever you need an offensive lineman if somebody gets dinged up kind of role. It actually gives you some versatile depth because some people still think he's a guard. So, you could plug him in there. You can put him at left tackle, right tackle. So they're adding to their depth there. But we also need to talk about Marcus Jones. You know what's fun? Was it Wes Welker that said in the post-game interview years ago, sometimes it's fun to stick it to Bill Belichick? Well, as media members, sometimes it's fun to stick it to Bill Belichick. Hey, Bill, we told you all along, put Marcus Jones at punt returner. Don't overthink the damn thing. Well, Marcus Jones is returning punts. Marcus Jones is returning kicks. He's an impact player. He's actually, weirdly, due to early season statistics, leading the NFL in kick return average right now at 26 a pop. But why did it take so long? Can somebody explain to me why it took so long for Marcus Jones to take over both roles?
The reason why it took so long is because Bill Belichick has that whole don't stick the rookies into the fire unless you absolutely have to mentality, which he did when he took Cole Strange, but he's a first rounder. Jack Jones, Marcus Jones, you got a couple of fourth rounders. So he took the slow.
So you put Miles Bryant, who hadn't returned.
You put Miles Bryant.
Stinks.
Good job. Yes, good job, Bill.
And Miles Bryant, yeah.
Nope, you didn't put a rookie out there to fail. You put a veteran out there to fail. You put a veteran in a bad position, and we saw him make bad decisions, muffing kicks. Like, they're lucky that those didn't cost them necessarily, but let's just look at Marcus Jones. What if he had made plays? Like, maybe you steal a game because he returns a punt for, like, I now put him in Ramondre Stevenson land of, I want Marcus Jones with the ball more because it looks like Marcus Jones, when he has the ball, scares the other team. And
for
should.
A guy who loves field position battles so much, you'd think he'd want the good returner out there.
I don't get
I don't either. It just, you watch the kid and you immediately can see it. It's very black and white. And again, I have been more negative about the Patriots than anybody, and I am telling you, this kid is electric. This kid can run with the football in his hands. I don't understand why he hasn't been returning kicks and punts all effing year.
And listening to Cam Accord today talk about some of the struggles of Jake Bailey, who, yes, is dead last in the NFL in both gross and net punting. He, in trying to explain it away, he goes, yeah, those are the numbers, but you have to look at the situation, who's back there, what you're thinking in the time in the game, whether you don't want a guy to return. And I think Marcus Jones is going to create those thoughts in the opposition. Like, do we want to kick to him? What are we doing here? Like, and I think the more you do that, it puts stress on your punter and your punt coverage unit and those things to, like, maybe you're overthinking it, but you're so afraid of Marcus Jones that you do things that could hurt you.
Maybe not to the same degree, but it's the same way the Giants always thought of DeSean Jackson. It's like, I would rather just punt it out of bounds and not deal with DeSean Jackson than give him an opportunity with the football.
So I think his tangible benefits will be obvious, like, oh, he runs with the ball. But I think there will be some intangible benefits as how other teams look at him.
We have some breaking Patriots news.
It won't be breaking when they hear it, but it's breaking while we record it.
No, we might as well give it out. Tom Pelissero, mere seconds ago, the Patriots are expected to sign Garrett Gilbert to the practice squad. As a quarterback. So there you go.
Old Garrett Gilbert. Garrett Gilbert, who they had much experience with and I think carried for a week or two last year, perhaps, on the 2021 season, or was it 2020? He's played with the team before. He's been a taxi squad, as I like to call it in my old man parlance, player with the Patriots before. So there is your backup quarterback Sunday. This tells me old private first class Bailey Zappe will be getting his first official start in the NFL for the Patriots. And Garrett Gilbert will be elevated to your number two quarterback Sunday at Gillette. Bailey Zappe in the throwback Reds. How do you feel about that, kids?
Yeah, I feel good about it because it's the best option right now. I don't feel good about it because, like, He's the
They're going to sell some of those. Zap.
Yeah, I had no – there was no question in my mind that in the world we're living in with the Tua situation in Miami and the newfound focus on protocols and concussions, there was no chance you were getting Brian Hoyer back, and I knew there was no chance you were getting Mac Jones back. I'm sure they'll put him out on the practice field a little bit earlier this week for their dog and pony show, but this is the Bailey Zappe experience, and as Fitzy would say, I'm here for it. Why not? It's better than the Brian Hoyer experience, and you know, he may get exposed. Is there a chance he throws multiple picks? Absolutely. He floats a ball and a safety comes across because we all know he doesn't have the strongest arm on the planet, and he's a bit of a gunslinger. So sometimes that's a bad mix when your arm isn't great and your mind is thinking your arm is great and you can make plays. But wouldn't you much rather watch Bailey Zappe than anybody else other than Mac right now?
Well, like I said earlier, when I said, let's pump the brakes on the Bailey Zappe love fest, it wasn't because I thought that the kid doesn't have it or couldn't turn into something. It may not be a diamond in the rough, but just rewatching a majority of the Green Bay Pats game, you know, that dime that he threw to, if you want to call it a dime, the touchdown pass to Devontae Parker, you know, floated it a little bit, probably could have hit him in stride. The one to Aguilar, that was a big first down that sets up the touchdown. Harris gets to put him up 24-17. If he hits Aguilar in stride on that, Aguilar scores on that play, because Aguilar got himself so open so quickly. And like I said, he missed Ramondre in the flat on a play. Like he just hadn't been in there. None of this is his fault, guys. He's a Division II quarterback who just like gripped it and ripped it and threw 62 touchdown passes last year for Western Kentucky against far inferior talent. Now he's elevating to the NFL. He's under center more. And that game plan wasn't for him. They had a few plays maybe up their sleeve for him. Matt Patricia as play caller and Joe Judge as QB whisperer, if you will, whatever you want to call him. Like, their value is going to be on full display calling a game and keeping this kid under center and under reins on Sunday. And I love it. You want to know why? Because I love the RPOs and the play action. I love it. Bailey Zappe does do one thing really, really, really well. His play action move is nice, because it looks just like his deep handoffs, and then he hides the ball nicely, buys that extra second. If the more familiar he gets Shime, the better he's going to be get it, maybe throwing a dart down the middle open to Kendrick Bourne or finding someone in the flat.
I also think in that Green Bay game, he was much more reserved than you'll see him going forward. Like, I think when you saw Belichick on the sideline kneeling down next to him, he said, all right, here's the deal. You hit the open guy. Otherwise, you hang on to the football. Don't throw it to the other team, and we have a shot in this game. And that
he picked up the tablet. It literally, they handed him a tablet. He looked at it, and it just said, oh, don't fuck this up. Okay.
And but that's exactly why on that throw to Aguilar, he kind of floats it. He puts a little too much touch on it and floats a little bit. But I think it's because he wanted to make sure it was a completed pass. Like, he didn't want to take any risks. He was trying to be risk averse, more or less. But for a kid who, as we've noted, just slung it at Western Kentucky against a really bad Lions defense, I think next week, Fitzy, you may need to really pump the brakes mentality, because there is a chance that this offense looks wildly good on next Sunday because of how bad the Lions defense is. So like, there is a chance everybody might start to lose their minds. Even in a loss, you might start to lose your minds a little bit, because you just saw what Geno Smith did to this Lions defense. And with his team in Seattle, who's not that good, just wait to see what Bailey Zappe and these running backs do on Sunday.
If I can just pull up real quick, no, I am not comparing Bailey Zappe to Tom Brady, for the love of God. However, good, so I think good. Okay, but in Tom Brady's first start, and also his first start for the Patriots at, it was the old Schaefer Sullivan Foxborough dump. They beat the Colts 44-13, and they actually let Brady throw the ball. Antoine Smith had a monster game, and so did the defense that day against Peyton Manning. But they let Brady sling the ball a hell of a lot more. Obviously, he had a year longer of familiarity in the system, and Brady is a completely different animal. But I wouldn't be surprised, Shime, if they let him sling the ball a little bit more. But they do have, like, if the worst rush defense was and may still be the Green Bay Packers, according to DVOA, another, you know, acronym that Andy refuses to subscribe to, I totally understand. But like, I think the Lions are like 30th. So like they suck out loud too against the run.
It's not even necessarily that the Patriots want to unleash him. It's this Lions offense. Again, the offense is really good. They're scoring over 30 points a game. And then luckily the defense is allowing 35 points a game. So I think you are going to be playing in an arms race with the Lions team. So you're almost going to be forced to let him uncork it a little bit.
Just let me know where Jeff Okuda and Aiden Hutchinson are on every play, Andy. And after that, I'm good.
We're the Six Rings podcast, and we only need six letters over two words to describe Chris Schein's excitement and what he is projecting for Sunday. And that is Mac who? Question mark.
Oh, daddy.
We'll see if that comes to fruition. And as always, Six Rings and Football Things will be here to lead up to it and then recap it when it comes to fruition. Join the Six Rings community now. Download the Odyssey app to get Six Rings each and every podcast, or go to your favorite podcast subscription and make sure you rate us, review us, and love us.